Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
It's time to enter the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's time for the highly sought-after, fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
And welcome back for the highly sought after, fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show. Phone lines are open right now. If you would like to contribute to the show, it's a good time to get your bark on at 866-485-9867. It's 866-485-WUMP. Also, the text window is open, 732-9TA-SHOW, 732-982-7469. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Tom Abraham Show. That works as well if you want to communicate with the show that way. A lot is, but we already talked about the Blake Barnett situation. I think there's nothing to see there. I don't know how that is a story. I don't know how Cooper Bateman had every opportunity to, you know, get himself into a starting situation. I thought Cooper Bateman would have been a starter for Alabama at some point in time. It just didn't work out. I also thought David Cornwell would be a starter for Alabama, and that never happened. He's a guy I thought was going to win a job this past year, and it didn't happen. So the bottom – or the I guess the year before that. So the bottom line is you go there to compete. You go to great programs to compete. The idea is to compete. Jalen Hurts is a better competitor than Blake Barnett. Blake Barnett might have a fine career at Arizona State playing JV football out there. And who knows, Cooper Bateman, he's at Utah? Is he slated to start there? I don't know. But you can't sit there and tell me that, well, you know, coach told me I was going to start. And then piss and moan about the fact that you don't get to start. When you did start. And you look like a deer in the headlights. And the head coach commented on your nervousness. So it's a non-story to me. You walked away. You quit. You lost your opportunity to make your case. I stayed in there. I grinded all season long. No, you didn't. So you didn't do any of that. So you lost your opportunity to make a case. Now, I'll be honest with you. I thought they were going to run him out there against Ole Miss after Jalen Hurts took the sack strip touchdown deal. I thought, well, here comes Blake. When they ran Jalen Hurts back out on the field, the next series after that, that's when I knew Blake Barnett would never start. That's when I also knew that there's something bigger than the quarterback's ability to spin the ball. Because we're talking about leadership role here. We're talking about field generalship. We're talking about owning the locker room. We're talking about owning the huddle. We're talking about being a cool hand Luke. We're talking about being that guy. And by leaving the way he left, Blake Barnett confirmed that the Alabama coaching staff was making the exact right decision. So I don't care what Blake Barnett has to say. I don't care what Cooper Bateman has to say. You sound like whiny babies. Not Bateman as much. Bateman stayed in there and fought. I don't want to hear from Blake Barnett. To me, Blake Barnett it's got a fatal flaw to overcome. The way he left Alabama. I don't care what he does at Arizona State. That's going to stick in people's craw. That he didn't want to compete. That's going to be an issue. Josh Rosen, his comments. He did a Q&A with Matt Hayes of the Bleacher Report. And he made a comment that has got some Alabama fans with their shorts in a knot. Raise the SAT requirement at Alabama and see what kind of team they have. But look, don't get hung up on that. I think he's just used – Alabama's the premier program in the country. He's using that as an example. Look, last I knew, UCLA is a state school. USC is a private school. UCLA is a state school. I don't know that UCLA's SAT requirement for athletes is any higher or lower than at Alabama. His bigger point is that, look, he says, I love school, but it's hard. It's cool because we're learning more applicable stuff in my major, which is economics for him, not just the prerequisite stuff that's designed to filter out people, but football really dents my ability to take some classes that I need. There are a bunch of classes that are only offered one time. There was a class in the spring I had to take, but there was a conflict with spring football, so, you know, football won out. Well, yeah. We understand it, but football players also have access to a support system that isn't available to every student on campus. But he said, Rosen went on to say, look, football and school don't go together. They just don't. Trying to do both is like trying to do two full-time jobs. There are guys that have no business being in school, amen to that, and they're here because this is the path to the NFL. There's no other way. Then there's the other side that raises – that says raise the SAT eligibility requirement. Okay, raise the SAT requirement at Alabama, see what kind of team they have. Well, you know, I don't know what their requirement is and that it's, you know.
I'd have a 26 to get in.
You had 26 to get in at ACT, a 26 to get in at Alabama?
Wow, what I read today was a 22. So
they're both decent. Insane.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not crap ACT numbers.
No. Mm-mm.
22 is not, you know.
It's not terrible.
I took that SAT. I had a 1260 on the SAT, but that was when the SAT was a little different than it is now.
Their SAT score, what I saw, was like a 1060
to
get in. So you could have got into Bama, Roll Tide. There you go.
Well, I would hope. Yeah. I went to a private college, too. So
the whole Rosen thing, the one part I take issue on is just, I understand it's a grind to go through both of them, but I think it's possible to go through both of them because I was never a college athlete, but the part he throws in there, it's like doing two full-time jobs. So you're assuming that college is a full-time job if you're a full-time student. Well, then technically I did two full-time jobs. I was not just any employee. I didn't work on campus. They didn't work around my school schedule. Mm-hmm. I was a store manager.
How do you determine what's a full-time job?
Well,
if you're taking a 15-hour load in school, and let's say you have to do an hour of work for every hour of class, you know, a 15-hour load should take 30 hours.
Yeah, I worked 56 hours a week at my job, and I wasn't just
and school.
And school.
That's full time.
I was a store manager at a gas station, made schedules, you know, employees, right. All that stuff. So that wasn't something they could be like, yeah, you can have this day off or that.
Did your homework, though, while you were working there.
That's a commitment to them. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So, like, they didn't care about school, and school didn't care about that. So you can find a way to work around
it. Well, here's the thing. There is a rule in place, and this is where I was going with this. It raises the question as to what's going on with the 20-hour rule. There's a 20-hour rule. You're only allowed to have your players for 20 hours a week outside of the game and travel. Think about that. 20 hours a week.
It's not a lot.
Out of 6 days. One day's a travel day, or one day's a game day. That doesn't count. So the rest of the week, you got to give them one day off. Usually we'd give them an academic day off. We'd have them in on Sunday and give them Monday off and then have them back in on Tuesday. But 20 hours a week isn't a lot.
It's not.
And I don't know that anyone is enforcing that. What's 20 divided by 6? You had a 24 or 26 ACT.
It's not even. Three,
it's 3 hours a day. Let me tell you something. College football takes a hell of a lot more than 3 hours a day. And what Rosen is talking about is you go home with digital files. I mean, if you're going to be a quarterback at the Division I level and you're going to be like UCLA and go 5-7, that was a shot. You need to spend time at night. As much time as you're spending on your homework, you're going to be looking at film on your own. That doesn't count into 20 hours. But I can tell you right now, when my son was at Alabama, and he was a student assistant coach. He wasn't on scholarship there. He was on scholarship at Middle Tennessee, but at Alabama, they paid him, and he was paid like $8 an hour as a student assistant coach in 2007. And Nick Saban's first year there. And the first week, and my son had to be at practice, and he had to be at the facility before classes. He did. He laminated the schedules, and he broke down film, and you know he did all the, you know, everything that a student lackey, you know, does. And the first week, he turned in 47 hours on his time card because he kept, you know, thinking, turned in 47 hours.
Right.
And he got his paycheck, and he got 20 hours. And it was 20 hours times $7 or $8 an hour, whatever it was. And so he went to the lady in the football office. He goes, how come, why did I get paid for 20 hours and I worked 47? She goes, no, you didn't. You worked 20. You're only allowed to be in the facility for 20 hours a week. Yeah, but they told me I got to be here at 7 o'clock in the morning before my classes. I come back right after my classes, and I'm here till 9 o'clock at night working on, yeah, 20 hours a week. And he got the message. That was it. And I'm not, you know, looking to jam anybody up. But the reality is 20 hours a week is laughable. It's laughable that you could do this in 20 hours a week. Now, when he got to Middle Tennessee, he was on full scholarship. So there was no hours to turn in. So he just worked his 50 hours a week, and that was it. But none of these programs, because he was a student, he was under the same guideline as the players were. You could only be in the facility for 20 hours a week, including field time and classroom time. I mean, it sounds stupid to even say 20 hours a week. Think about a Division I college football player. But to his point, here's the point he's making that's going to continue to advance the idea of a true minor league in college football. There are people that are taking seats in colleges right now that do not belong in college. And it's even worse in basketball. In football, at least you got to pass something because you got to be there for 3 years before the draft. In basketball, you don't even learn how to spell Kentucky. And it's the spring semester. You don't go to class in the spring because it doesn't matter, and you're going in the draft.
Yep.
You don't even know your way across campus, and you're gone.
A la Ben Simmons.
And a la everybody else. Go back there, you know, Derrick Rose at Memphis playing for Cal or any other one and done it. So it's a joke. Jay from Athens is up. Jay, welcome to the show. How you doing, brother?
What's going on, Big Dog? You doing all right?
I am not only am I all right. I tell you, I know you're a golfer and a golf fan. I am stoked about this decision the PGA Championship has made. The PGA has made to move the PGA Championship to May, beginning in 2019. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, something about getting ready for the Olympics for the next time it rolls around or something like that. Is that right?
No. They just want to get the hell away from the NFL and football, and you know this PGA Championship coming up now, and then the FedEx thing starts after that, and it runs into football, and nobody's paying attention. So what they did was they moved the Players Championship back to March where it used to be, and so now we got the Players in March, the Masters in April, the PGA Championship in May, the U.S. Open in June, the British Open in July. That's the last major. And then the FedEx Cup Championship starts, those four tournaments, and it's all done by the middle of August. NASCAR needs to see what golf is doing.
Yeah. That's right. NASCAR needs to look at that and get the season over with by Labor Day.
NASCAR should start the playoffs at Daytona in July 4th weekend. That's when the playoffs should start, and then it should end at Darlington on Labor Day weekend. And get out of my way, because I love NASCAR, but I don't want to know once the college football season starts about NASCAR.
True. All right, you probably touched on it yesterday, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to listen, but so – starting this coming up February, the Olympics, no NHL players that are under contract with any team, correct, are playing in the Olympics, correct?
No, that's they still have the choice to leave their team. It's just that the NHL is not going to shut down for the Olympics. So there are players. Okay. This is going to be a little bit of an interesting deal because there are players that have said, I'm playing for my country. And they'll leave their teams and go play. It's going to be a big problem to see how the NHL handles that. But my understanding is what the NHL said is we're not going to supply our players to the Olympics. We're not shutting down the NHL season for 3 weeks while the Olympic tournament takes place. So, you know, that's the deal. Now, does that mean that some, you know, Ovechkin or some other player is liable to leave his team and go play for his country? I think they could still do that. I don't know how the league is going to handle that. My answer to this is to do what basketball does. Put hockey in the Summer Olympics. You know, why is basketball in the Summer Olympics? You know, basketball is in the Summer Olympics. Why? Put basketball and put baseball in the Winter Olympics and let them play in a dome somewhere.
So they actually call up guys from the minor leagues to fill those spots.
That's
correct?
Okay. And there'll be minor league players that go and play for their country, too. There'll be players that play in the American Hockey League that want to – yeah, because that's where – you know, maybe the majority of the players will end up coming from, or I don't, you know, or college, you know, like the U.S. team. Who's going to make up the U.S. team? I got to believe it'll be a lot of minor leaguers, probably.
Yeah, and besides, the Olympics are in Korea, so the games won't be on until they'll be tape delayed, of course. But if you want to watch them live, you'll have to get up early in the morning to watch.
It's going to be a nightmare when it's in Korea. It's going to be a rumor.
All right, brother, I appreciate you.
All right, man. Thanks. Olympic question right out of I got a hockey Olympic question during the football camps are open. We had Eric Anders on earlier today talking about his UFC career. Kevin Rogers was in talking about NFL. John McClain was in talking NFL. Mark Burnett was in talking Alabama. Joe Galina came in talk fantasy football. All right, let's go to the phones. Hey, dog, what about the Hockey Olympics? I love you, Jay. You know that. I do. So, look, the comments of Josh Rosen, again, I don't think you want to get too fired up. Rosen said, Matt Hayes followed up with clarification asking some players shouldn't be in school, Rosen clarified. He said, quote, it's not that they shouldn't be in school. Human beings don't belong in school with our schedules. No one in their right mind should have a football player's schedule and go to school. It's not that some players shouldn't be in school. It's just that universities should help them more instead of just finding ways to keep them eligible. Well, I don't know, man. I mean, they do an awful lot. They got a lot of opportunities, and they take a lot of summer classes, too. That's the other part of it. You know, football players take a lot of classes in the summer to free them up. I think you still stay eligible with, 9 hours, guys? I think you could take 9 hours and still be considered a full-time student.
That's the very minimum.
Yeah, but I think a lot of players take 9 hours in the fall. They got tutors with them on the planes. They got tutors with them all in the hotel. I mean, they got a lot of help. What the heck was that? Did you hear that?
It's the grass, guys.
Oh, is that what that was out there? I thought it was snowing. Did you see all that stuff blowing into the... Hey, you know what I haven't heard?
What's that?
Since Smokey Mike was here?
The generator.
Yeah. Did we get Chuck to change the time the generator generates? Like to the middle of the night when nobody's on the air live?
I didn't hear it last week. I didn't. But the week before that, I still think it goes on Wednesdays, but it's like almost the very end of the show. So it's when I'm not on the
air. Does that air conditioner ever put on? Don't we have like central air here now?
Are you hot?
I'm fine. But I'm just wondering why there's a 1974 window air conditioner in the window.
I'm not either. Anytime Arky says that if
have
I
you
need
ever
to,
seen that thing on?
No. Anytime Arky says, hey, if you want to get cold, the thermostat's right out there, you can use it. So
why don't they jerk that out of the window and put the window down? And who tried to shoot somebody in here? There's a bullet hole in a window.
It happened outside because it doesn't reach inside. The hole's on the outside window. It wasn't a powerful gun, as you can tell.
You know. It might have been the guys cutting the grass. They probably threw a rock at the window.
Hey, you know, I mean, being the Big Dogs producer is a popular gig. People are trying to get me. You know what I mean? They
you
want
never
the
saw the movie Talk Radio?
Mm-mm.
And you went to school for communications?
I did.
Did you go to school for communications, Cream?
I've seen the movie Radio. I don't think that's the same thing.
No, though. Radio is the challenged young man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that's the same thing.
What's his name to play that? That's the guy that's...
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the guy that was Rod Tidwell. Mm. Show me the money.
Also, O.J. He played O.J. in
that was so unbelievable. That was not believable. You know who was believable was Ross as...
Yeah, Kardashian.
Kardashian. Ross was believable. They should have had a little Kim Kardashian on that show, too.
Baby Kim.
Little baby Kim.
Nothing but just like a big old plastic butt.
Guys out there weed whacking. Hey, don't mind us. We're just doing live radio over here. Guys over there weed whacking. Oh, wait a minute. Weed trimming. Hey, wait, is that Magic Mike? I didn't see the guy's face. That might have been Magic Mike.
He looked too small to be Magic Mike. Mike's bulkier.
Could have been weed whacking. Weed trimming.
Weed eating, whichever
weed eating.
One.
Yeah. Is that what it is? Eating. The guy I know that eats weeds is Les Miles. Weed eating. Jeez. Yeah, Cuba Gooding. No, talk radio. You never saw neither one. It should be a. It should be something that you have to see if you take communications. All right, talk radio is a movie about a talk show host that does nights. That is a, he's a political talk show host. He's very acerbic, like most political talk show hosts are. By the way, did you tell Neil McCready it wasn't me the one who jumped him?
Yeah.
Was he cool or what?
Yeah, he's cool. He was, I can tell that he's been through a lot. He just.
Well, he doesn't want to. Sorry, Neil McCready.
No, he's
good. We booked
good.
Neil McCready to talk about Ole Miss. When's he coming on? Tomorrow? Friday?
Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah.
He's coming on Thursday to talk about Ole Miss. And he hit T-Mac up with, hey. Is this the host that, you know, attacked me on air? I don't attack anybody on air. I attack Danny T on air, but other than that, I don't attack anybody on air.
He hit me with a lot more. It had nothing to do with you. It was
really?
Like precautions of the show. He's like, I'll do whatever time we decided. He said, just remind whoever's interviewing me that I'm not a fan. I'm not a part of the program talking about Ole Miss. I don't care what happens, but the narrative that Ole Miss is the biggest cheating program in America is flawed beyond belief.
Oh, my gosh. He's been through the meat grinder.
Mm-hmm. He's been through a lot right now. So
Let me see what he said.
It goes on and on. Just read the two big gray blocks.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, the two big gray blocks are him.
Just when it was an interview, I'm not a fan. I'm not a part of the program. I don't care what I'm in the narrative. I wanted to ask about how they could have a exceed expectations, and I want to talk about the coach. I like Matt Luke.
See, that's what I told him.
I want to talk about Matt Luke.
I told him that you weren't going to be. We didn't need any of that.
I'm a positive person. I'm not a down person.
Right. He was just saying that he understands that you can. He said badmouth him if you want to. He said just to say that I'm defending them is.
God, he did the talk show on text. Via text.
He did.
Tuning in, how long you need me? Is this going to show where I did the dude? Got in an argument with me? If so, I'm not interested. No. Let's see. Just remind whoever's interviewing me, I'm not a fan of the part of the program. I don't care what happens to their narrative. Ole Miss is the cheatingest program in America. Is flawed beyond belief. Sloppy, yes. Arrogant, yes. Cheating more than their SEC West colleagues. Not even close. No, there's no question about that. I don't mind bad-mouthing the program. It deserves bad-mouthing. Yeah. However, when I point out that everyone cheats and Ole Miss has just sucked really bad at cheating. Well, that's – John Forcade said that for 2 years.
Right.
He said that we just don't know how to cheat right. But this is not what this is about. I just let's see. And I spend people – I realize I just wasted 15 minutes of my life. I can't get back having a conversation that won't benefit me in any way. This is not what I want to talk about.
I didn't tell him that.
Way past that.
Right.
I want to talk about Matt Luke and Shea Patterson and whether or not these guys, you know, whether if they get an additional bowl ban, whether they fear that other guys will leave the program. You know what I mean? Because Shea Patterson is a three and dunner. You know what I mean? I don't think he's a, you know, I don't think Jalen Hurts is that guy, but I think that Shea Patterson is that kind of a guy. Because I don't think Jalen Hurts is an NFL type quarterback. I don't believe.
Well, do you think they might try to his last year of eligibility get him out so Tua can come up and do his eligibility thing?
Well, that's going to be the concern. That's the thing there. Jalen Hurts may be a 4-year quarterback. No, they won't try to get him. Well, let's see how he's doing. I mean, Tua, you know, bird in hand, right? I mean, who knows? By the time he's a 4th-year quarterback, he may be, you know, going for a second national championship or something. Who knows? You don't know. Tua might have to wait. Might be the guy after Tua.
Yeah.
We don't know. Again, Tua might be Blake Barnett. Tua might be David Cornwell. Tua might be Cooper Bateman. I mean, cream. Am I lying? I mean, you go there. Think about the list of quarterbacks that have come in there every year. There's another five-star quarterback that is the guy. You know who wasn't the guy? Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
We didn't even know about Jalen Hurts. He showed up to play Deshaun Watson in bowl practice, in national championship game practice 2 years ago.
Well, just think about what...
And then in the spring game, not to cut you off, but I will.
You're okay.
But in the spring game, Jalen Hurts was... We're watching the spring game to see how good Blake Barnett's going to be, and Cooper Bateman and Jalen Hurts, and Cooper Bateman and Blake Barnett and Blake Barnett. And then we're like, look at two. Look at that kid. Look at that kid. What the hell is that? And while he did that threes on threes. Okay. And the next thing you know, we start hearing rumors in the fall. You know what? Two might be the best quarterback they got. And as a freshman, as a true freshman, he's the SEC player of the year. That's the kid we did. We knew. We pumped up Cooper Bateman. We pumped up David Cornwell. We pumped up Blake Barnett. The list goes on and on of quarterbacks that have showed up at Alabama to be the next guy. Tua, yep. Tua. Who knows, Tua?
Just think about where the
some
quarterback...
kid playing high school right now in Texas is the next quarterback at Alabama. Somebody's a junior somewhere at, you know.
Think about the position that quarterback battle would be in right now if Hurts wasn't the starter at any point last season. Alabama doesn't go to the playoffs because guy mentioned earlier that, you know, Alabama wouldn't have been in the national championship.
He thinks if Blake Barnett was the quarterback, he would have. We don't know.
So think about that. Maybe Blake Barnett comes in and he doesn't get Alabama to a playoff, and that would probably cause an uproar. Quarterback battle's open. You don't have any experience of Hurts on the field. Maybe Tua's in the mix right away. Maybe
some
we don't
guys,
ever know Hurts.
Some guys, you can't keep off the field.
Yeah.
And who do you trust, Blake Barnett or Nick Saban to make that decision?
Definitely Nick Saban.
Right? I mean, if Nick Saban says that Jalen Hurts is the best opportunity they got to win a national championship, I'm going with that. Sorry, Blake. Regardless of what Nick Saban may have said to him. Let's get a break. We'll return with a rewind right here on the Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039. Yeah.
Now back to the big dog. This show is rough.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, then I watch them roll away again.
On Campbell, should have sitting on a dock.
I'm sitting on the dock of the bay.
On Campbell passed away today at age 81. For a lot of us, it was our first real foray into country music. I know for me, my mother was a big Glen Campbell fan, and I found one of her Glen Campbell albums, and I fell in love with it when I was like a teenager. It was like, this guy's great, man. Wichita Lyman and all of the others, really good stuff. All of our guests appeared today on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline, where you don't have to have a Ford to take advantage of their great service lanes down there. They do a tremendous job at Woody Anderson Ford. Don't forget Henry's Mustang Cafe as well when you're down at Woody Anderson Ford, right there at Jordan and Sparkman. Earlier, it was Eric Anderson, Kevin Rogers, John McClain made it in from the Houston Chronicle, Mark Burnett from SEC Country, and Joe Galena all made it in to the Woody Anderson Ford Rapid Rewind. Now, is this something that you trained for when you were younger? I mean, at what point in time do you think, you know, because I know that you had a cup of coffee with the Browns, you played a little bit in the CFL and so on after your college career. But at what point in time is it really on your radar that, you know what, I think this MMA thing, I think I might want to go beat up people that way at some point in time. When does that come about?
When I got done playing football, you know, kind of got bored, needed something to do, something to compete in. So mm-hmm. I walked into an MMA gym here in Birmingham and started training and immediately fell in love with the sport.
Was boxing ever an option, or was it just you knew you wanted to go? I know you're a purple belt, I guess. Is that right? In jiu-jitsu?
Yes.
And, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, is that something that you started, you know, the whole jiu-jitsu training and everything else, it all come all after football? No training when you were younger?
Yeah, I have JV-level experience wrestling. Mm-hmm. No previous boxing or jiu-jitsu experience. I am a purple belt now, and in 2013, I won the Alabama Golden Gloves Boxing Tournament. So the combat sports is something that I've taken to naturally, and just been working really hard to enhance my skill set and my all-around skills.
Is it something that you think that, you know, I wrestled in high school and played football. I played defensive line, and our football coach encouraged us, the defensive players, to wrestle because he thought it would be really good for us to be able to use our hands and hand fight and things like that. Is this something, just the training aspect of it, that you would encourage football players to do? If you had done this when you were playing linebacker at Alabama, would this have been something you think that would have helped you in your technique as a linebacker if you had this background?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think wrestling and grappling in general teaches you about leverage and how to use your feet and hands simultaneously. So I think wrestling, jiu-jitsu, judo, all those things kind of go hand in hand and will make you a better athlete and better football player as well.
Well, because you know, Coach Saban, he leaves no rock unturned. I'm wondering if you've heard from him at all, where he said, hey, come on in here. I want you to work with our guys a little bit, teach them some of that hand fighting stuff, you know?
Well, he, you know, he brought in some karate guys and has doing some karate when I was there in the summertime, and a little bit of Pilates as well.
Nice. That's good stuff. Eric Anders with us. All right, when's your next fight now? What's the plan for you? You moved into the UFC. You get a win right off the bat back in July. What's coming next?
I'm not really sure what my next fight will be. But I am doing a world jiu-jitsu tournament here in a few weeks at the end of August down there in Las Vegas. So that's the next competition that's on the horizon for me. And definitely looking to get back in the octagon as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think it was, he said, the only job that he would consider, the only team he would consider would be Miami. I do think you're underselling a little bit what the impact of Colin Kaepernick might have been in, of all places, Miami. There's a huge Cuban population there. And for being a guy, you know, one way or the other, say what you want, he says he was, you know, it was misconstrued. You're wearing a Castro T-shirt, okay? Of all places, I mean, Baltimore could do something with him if his idiot girlfriend wasn't running off comparing the owner to Django, to a slave owner. But Miami, to me, would have been the most difficult place for him from the social aspect of the NFL. And you know these owners are very, very sensitive to that.
It would have. But, I mean, again, you know, if you're guaranteed to win football games with this guy, which you weren't, but if you were guaranteed and he's a better option than what you have, you had to at least consider it. And you know what? What are you supposed to do about it? Worry about the whole fan base?
Yeah.
Because you know what? The fan base will boo you. If you're 0-16, if you're 2-14, fan base ain't booing you if you're 15-1. You know, I'm not saying that Colin Kaepernick would make the Dolphins 15-1, but wins are wins. And you know what? There's plenty of guys with questionable character that have won Super Bowls and that have been great players in this league. And you know what? When you're hoisting a Super Bowl trophy or you're going far in the playoffs, you're not worried about their background and what they've done. So
yeah.
I just think that at the beginning, some people's feelings would have been hurt, but in the end, it's a major gamble, but if he wins for you, come on, you're not going to not watch him. I just think that's kind of a crazy thing. You know, I understand what you're saying, but I still think that winning trumps all.
Yeah, I would agree with that to a certain extent. Now, the reality, too, is with this team is, you know, they were 10-6 last year, but I thought they were over their skis a little bit. I don't know that they were a 10-6 team necessarily this year. And I'm not sure how much now that number will change with Jay Cutler. If they go 8-8 or 9-7 or 7-9, I feel like, you know, that may have been their destiny one way or the other. It's going to be very interesting if we can actually tie a loss or a win to, you know, well, that was Cutler instead of Tannehill.
Well, first of all, you're right about the 10-6 last year. They should never have beaten the Rams. They should have probably never beaten the Chargers. They needed a kickoff return late to beat the Jets at home. They held off San Francisco at home. They probably should have lost to Cleveland at home. Their best win was over Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger hurt. And then obviously lost to Pittsburgh again in the playoffs when Matt Moore started. I had nothing to do with Matt Moore. It's just Pittsburgh was better than them. But they probably should have been a 7 or 8 win team. The only game that they really gave away was the Seattle game in the opener. last season. Otherwise, I think that, you know, this was a team that's probably about a 500 team that overachieved against a weak schedule. And now we'll see what happens this year. They don't face a playoff team from last year until week six when they face the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we know what Atlanta did last year. But they play five teams early on. I mean, Tampa Bay, borderline playoff team, Tennessee. We'll see if they take that next step coming up this year. They play the Saints in London. So those are some of their early games, which won't be easy. But they definitely went. The Dolphins are a 7 or 8 win team, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that just doesn't get you the playoffs.
Of course, everybody remembers the stories of when the Titans, the Oilers, first got to Nashville. Brad Hopkins, my good friend, would always tell me the stories about them training like at a mall parking lot or something like that. They were training someplace before they had any facilities there.
Well, their first training camp in Nashville was that they were at Tennessee State.
Yeah.
And then their facility was a temporary facility they used in 97 and 98 till the new stadium and the new facility were ready. And it was out behind a doctor's office building next to a mall. And the grass would be worn off and they'd have to have walkthroughs in the mall parking lot. Bud Adams wouldn't spend any money for it because he knew they were going to use it 2 years, but it was awful. Fisher had to do everything himself. They had a big trailer in which they had offensive and defensive meetings, but they had no partition. So Fisher had to spend like $5,000 of his own money to get it where you could house offense and defense. It was just a disaster. It was one of the best coaching jobs I've seen.
Yeah, no, and he did do a great job there. And he's moved back to Nashville, too, now. Of course, you know that. But he was always a big fan of the area, and he's now.
He's got homes in Nashville, yeah. St. Louis, and L.A.
Yeah, there you go. You know, by the way, speaking of the Titans, there was a lot of conversation before last year, leading up to that, that this Titan team had to be sold, that somebody had to step in, or this was going to continue to spiral out of control, that ownership was such a huge problem. And of course, that all quieted down with the 9-7 season. It's also quieted down, but Amy Strunk is doing a pretty nice job. She's visible. She's at practices. She represented the team at the Hall of Fame. Are you at all surprised at how Amy Strunk has brought a certain amount of stability to the ownership office there with the Titans?
Well, first of all, the team was never for sale. Jason Lock and Forrest, CBS, reported that they were about to be sold numerous times. They were never on the market. And what they did was originally Amy's sister, Susie, her husband, Tommy, took it over.
Sure.
And ran it. And then he was ousted in a power play. And Amy, I've known this family for 40 years, and I was really surprised because Amy never lived in Houston. She lived on a ranch. She was a horsewoman. She loved horses. Her husband's a former pilot. And then when she stepped up, she never had any real interest in the Oilers except as a fan. And when she stepped up to be the owner, she's a Nashville-type woman.
Mm-hmm.
I told her, let him get to know you, do some interviews. She'd never done any interviews. But I think she's done a tremendous job. She signs off. She listens. And John Robinson is an outstanding general manager. I can't say enough good things about the job he's done with his personnel over two seasons. And his predecessor, Rustin Webster, kind of laid a foundation. But Robinson is having to bring in his guys for Mike Mularkey. Don't know if Mularkey's the coach for the team, but they're the pick to win the AFC South over the Texans, who've won it the last 2 years and four of the last 6 years, because they've got a quarterback, Marcus Mariota, and the Texans have never had a quarterback. Their situation has been unstable, and they're hoping Deshaun Watson, who's a backup right now, will eventually be the franchise quarterback they've never had.
Do you think it stays that way for long? I mean, we should see a decent amount of him tomorrow night, but do you think they mess around long with Tom Savage, or do they really like Tom Savage, or is it time to, you know, will Deshaun Watson be in there sooner than later?
The coaches and players like Savage a lot. His problem is he hadn't been able to stay healthy, and he's hardly played. He's been hurt in each of his first three seasons. Bill O'Brien has benched his starter in each of his first three seasons, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brian Hoyer, and Brock Osweiler. And so the odds are Savage is going to get hurt or get benched. And then when Watson gets to play, it just depends on how he does. He may go out and stink it up and have to go back to the bench. Everybody wants him to do what Dak Prescott did, but what Dak Prescott did was unprecedented. Plus, Prescott had the best offensive line, the best running game for a team that was awful the year before. And the Texans are trying to win the division for a third year in a row, and it's unfair. They have a mediocre line and a running game that's just pretty good, but certainly not like the Cowboys.
I just kind of went on a passionate rant. My blood pressure has come down a little bit about these comments that were made by Blake Barnett and Cooper Bateman about whether or not the coaching staff was sincere with them regarding the quarterback battle. What were your thoughts reading that stuff, and what exactly is a player supposed to expect that he had a lifetime starting gig, or I don't understand what that's all about.
Yeah, I thought it was a little strange. You know, first, you know, you have to commend them for just what I assume they were doing with it, which is just answering questions truthfully and honestly. But at the same time, you know, if you look at these two individual quarterbacks, Cooper Bateman had every shot to win the starting job in 2015. Alabama basically tried to give him the job. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but Jake Coker started the first two games of that season. They benched Coker for the Ole Miss game and started Bateman.
Right.
Bateman didn't play well. That was his shot. He got his shot. Fast forward to last year. Blake Barnett was a turnover machine during Alabama scrimmages, but they still started him, you know, against USC, and he looked completely shook. I mean, a true deer in headlights out there against SC, and I'm not sure Alabama wins that game if Blake Barnett continues to play quarterback, because he just did not look comfortable. And obviously, you had Jalen Hurts come in and sort of, you know, save the day for Alabama. So again, I appreciate the honesty in terms of answering the questions, but at the same time, just a little bit strange. I just can't imagine, you know, Nick Saban or any coach, you know, promising anybody a starting job and not going through on it. I mean, it's just one of those situations, especially, you know, Bateman, he stuck around, but Barnett, he left after four games in the season, so I'm not really sure what he expected.
Yeah, I got more respect for what Bateman did than what Barnett did, for sure. No question about it. And you know, there might have been a time when Nick Saban did say to him, look, you're our guy. But I don't think that means that you can't be beaten out as our guy. I mean, you know, Jalen Hurts went in there. He had a terrible first series. And he fumbles a ball his first snap. And he just doesn't seem to get rattled at all. Plus, we don't know what was going on behind the scenes. We don't know which quarterback was more well-received in the huddle or in the locker room. And that's that intangible, that leadership type thing. I'm a big believer that players cut themselves. It becomes apparent very, very quickly as to who's got that look in their eye and who doesn't. I don't think Jalen Hurts is quitting that team if Blake Barnett is the starter for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. I don't think he's that guy. And I think by doing what Blake Barnett did, the way he exited, I thought that proved that they went with the right guy, because that's a character flaw that they saw in him, and it played itself out with the way he abandoned the team in midseason.
I mean, I just remember talking to a lot of the veteran guys, you know, guys who played a lot of football at Alabama, who were some guys who were seniors and juniors and on the leadership committee, and they all raved about Hurts. The biggest thing they talked about was, you know, those intangibles that you mentioned, just not getting rattled. And I think that's If you're an offensive player, you look at your quarterback in the huddle, or you look at your quarterback in the sideline, you want to know that, you know, hey, maybe we went three and out, or maybe we had a turnover, but, you know, things are going to be okay. And I think that's what Hurts was able to deliver to Alabama, to his teammates and also Alabama fans, that sort of calm that no matter what happens, you know, everything's going to be all right.
Well, and Hurts goes on to become the SEC Player of the Year. I don't know that Blake Barnett is that guy if that happens. I don't know that he's not that guy. I mean, if Jalen Hurts wasn't on the scene at all, and Blake Barnett was, you know, didn't have any competition to be the starter and was the starter all season, I mean, it could have still been in Tampa on January 10th or whatever it was, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think Alabama,
really?
Based on how the season played out, I don't think Alabama beats Ole Miss without Jalen Hurts. I don't think Alabama beats LSU. They definitely don't beat LSU without Jalen Hurts. I mean, he scored the only touchdown in that game. I mean, you're fooling yourself if you think that Blake Barnett could have rushed for that touchdown against LSU. So I don't even think they make it to the championship game if Blake Barnett is the starting quarterback. This guy, I don't think the personnel was set up. I don't think the offensive line was set up to protect the sort of, a pocket quarterback in that sense. Jalen Hurts, you know, had some of that Blake Sims ability in terms of being able to escape the pocket when things broke down. So I don't think they would have ended up in Tampa if not for Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. We do a thing called the Doghouse Fantasy League, the DFL, that we've been doing for years and years. And we've had as many as 120 players all show up at a sports pub, and we'd have 10 leagues, and everybody breaks out into tables. I do a live remote from there, and then after the show, everybody will, you know, we'll break down into our leagues, and we'll do the live draft, and then there's a commissioner for each league, and then he'll enter all the names, and then everything else from there on goes through the platforms. Which platform do you like? Well, we use Yahoo. We have been using Yahoo forever. Just give us a little critique of the various platforms that that you like.
Well, I've played Yahoo, and I like them, but I don't love them. I kind of like ESPN. Mm-hmm. CBS. You're going to laugh, but I love when you start an ESPN draft and you hear the ESPN jingle. I mean, they all pretty much offer the same kind of thing. Yahoo is pretty user friendly, and so is CBS. I think they pretty much all have their merits.
One of the things that we did in the past that I thought was kind of cool is we had a coach. It was an option to where you could have a coach, and it would be like, you'd get 2 points or whatever, and it was almost like picking a game that week. You know, mm-hmm. you'd constantly be dropping and adding a coach, and I always thought that was kind of cool. I like the innovation that you're talking about, though, with bonus points for catches that are result in first downs and things like that. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, I know a league where it's a catch. I mean, it's a point per first down reception for wide receivers, but then they bump it up to a point and a half for first downs made on tight ends. So, and that same league, have a flex option where you're able to start two quarterbacks, one quarterback in the flex and one quarterback, obviously, at the regular quarterback position. Mm-hmm. So, sometimes you get involved in these season-long leagues and the drafts. They're fun, but, the same thing kind of usually happens, especially with people who know what they're doing in one-quarterback leagues. You know, quarterbacks don't get drafted till, 8th, 9th, 10th round, other than the Aaron Rodgers and the Drew Breeses. Adding a point and a half per first down made to tight ends, all of a sudden tight ends become a little bit more valuable.
Yeah, and it's I've never been a fan of a two quarterback league, but you're saying to hold off on picking your quarterback to the 6th-7th round. You think now? I'll say this: in our league, it's always been, I'm not a big fan of 4 point touchdowns. For us, it's always mm-hmm. been you get the full 6 points for a touchdown pass by a quarterback, and you get I think we did 20 yards last year, maybe a point for every 20 yards for the quarterbacks in the past. You still would wait that long before you pick your quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of value at the quarterback position, and let's face it. I mean, running backs and wide receivers, especially running backs, there's so much of a chance of them developing an injury, and there's so much fewer and fewer offenses that use one primary running back. So many are running back by committee. So to get your hands on a premium running back and then follow that up with lots of backup help. But like I said, the quarterback position is pretty deep. I mean, you could get a Philip Roberts, Philip Rivers, fairly late. Marcus Mariota is the 10th quarterback on some of ADP rankings, average draft position rankings. Even Kirk Cousins goes fairly late. And I think they could have some pretty good years.
Well, there you have it. That is your rapid rewind for this, the 8th of August, 2017. And, of course, the rapid rewind, a product of our good friends at Woody Anderson Ford. All right. Covered a lot of ground today. Want to thank the boys, Antonio Macbeth. Remember to tip your waiters tonight.
It's a good one. I appreciate that.
Heading over to the Texas Roadhouse. I heard you're like the lead chef over there. Are you a chef, or are you waiting tables?
I help wait and I bus tables. Get a little extra cash. I'm getting married a couple months. Gotta
pile up that cash, man. You gotta get us some extra money so you can trim that beard back a little bit. You're gonna tighten it up before the wedding, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cream did the research and showed me a lot of cool videos. That's a good job by him. Took a couple of calls as well. We'll do it all over again tomorrow. Big show for you tomorrow. Big show tomorrow. Till then, Braves baseball tonight. I'm Tom Abraham, and this is 730-1039.
Dump. WUMP Sports Radio. The Op.